You are listening to A Closer Look. I'm Rose Scott, alongside Jim Burrs. Jimmy, are you a Merlot type of man, or?
I'm a Pinot Grigio type of guy.
Well, because of that, Georgia's wine business is booming, according to experts, creating jobs and millions of dollars in state and local tax revenue. With only a handful of vineyards in 1995, the industry has grown to more than 40. And according to Eric Seifarth, president and winemaker of Crane Creek, he's also a member of the Wine Growers Association of Georgia, and he joins us now to talk more about this industry. Eric, thanks for coming in. We appreciate it.
Well, great. Thanks for having me. I love talk about this subject.
Did you bring some wine?
I was going to say, where's the wine?
Yeah, everybody asked me that. No, I
did. Do you
I
get tired of that question?
Some. Yeah.
When you go to dinner, are you the guy that when you go to dinner, they expect you to bring the wine?
Pretty much all the time. And when you work with it all day, that's the last thing you think you want to bring for a gift.
But at that dinner, if someone brings a wine, then you critique it in your mind. You don't want to say, oh, God, this is really terrible. Do I tell them? You just sort of keep it to yourself.
Yeah, you do that too. You do that too, and you drink through a lot of bad bottles of wine. But
well, Eric, you've been in the business since what, 1995?
Right, 20 years this August. It's amazing how long, almost a second full career for me.
How'd you get into it?
Well, I was very fortunate. I'm a native Atlantan myself, really from this area where the studio is not too far. Was very fortunate after high school to go on to the Military Academy, West Point. Was blessed to spend 11 of my 20 years in the Army in Italy. Somebody's got to do it.
Sounds rough.
So I did really learn wine growing and wine appreciation over there. And when I retired out of my last assignment at Fort McPherson, as a matter of fact, I said, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to do it here in Georgia.
Did you have any idea how to do it?
A little bit. And the first number of years, of course, you're just establishing the farm and the vineyards themselves. And I worked with colleagues all through North Carolina and Virginia. Both those states are a little ahead of us in terms of their industry, but for no real reason other than they are.
So how have you seen this industry grow?
Well, you know, 1983 was the passage of the farm winery legislation at the Georgia legislature. And on the heels of that, there was a small burst of a number of wineries. And they got out there and got going. And some of them are still around, and some of them have passed away. Chateau Elan and Habersham are probably two of the biggest ones that you're familiar with. But they were still fighting climate problems. And I'm not talking geographic climate. I'm talking a lot of political and religious climate in the state. And so it was hard for them to move forward with favorable legislation to really expand to the point they wanted to. Also, they tended to start up in areas that were maybe not the best wine-growing regions in the state, trying to get closer to their market in Atlanta. So those guys really had to struggle at the beginning, but they were the pioneers. I mean, a lot of us owe an awful lot to those guys.
Where is the best place in Georgia to grow grapes for wine?
Northeast Georgia, up in the mountains. There's no doubt. For a variety of reasons, you've got to get up above about 1,200, 1,300 feet to grow particularly the European wine grapes and quite a number of other varieties of grapes. That has to do with some inherent diseases that we have in Georgia that will overwinter extremely successfully under 1,200 feet, also humidity levels, a lot of things. So without a doubt, some of my brethren in South Georgia and West Georgia may argue, but also they're not attempting to grow the pure European varietals.
So this is a bigger industry. It's grown steadily since what you mentioned in 83, overcoming that political climate. How big of an industry is it now in the state?
Well, as was mentioned, you know, when we started at Crane Creek, there was about seven of us that were kind of poking our heads up and getting going. Now, I believe by the end of the year, there'll probably be about 50 wineries are going and active in Georgia, which is really exciting because what's finally happening is we are making an economic impact. We're making an economic impact to the point that we can get tangible numbers. We can go back to state tourism, state agriculture, and a number of our partners in the state government and say, look what's happening. 10 years ago, we started our first wine highway weekends. They were casual weekends that people could travel from winery to winery with a passport. They were reasonably well attended by the public. This year was our biggest ever. It has become now a two-week event as opposed to a one-week event, and many of our hospitality partners in our area are taking advantage of that by creating specials and weekends, lodging packages and stuff like that. So as a pulse of what's going on, that is really important. We're making an economic impact as an industry, but the residual impact is far greater than just the wine.
So Eric, let's talk about, you mentioned there's data that supports, you know, the economic impact. Let's talk numbers then. Are you able to cite some numbers here in terms of how much, you know, the industry is generating?
The industry itself alone, which I can kind of pinpoint a little bit, it's a tough number, but about $14 million a year. The outside impact I don't have that number, but it is significant. We work occasionally with University of Georgia to having economic impact statements, and we're due for another one because I think it will be a significant jump from what we did about a little less than a decade ago.
Now, California is already mad at Georgia for stealing some of the film industry here, but so let's talk about the wine industry here. Is there any opportunity that Georgia could really get an edge on California's wine industry? Because unfortunately, that state is battling with drought here, so you don't want to just say it's great, we want to benefit from their misery. But there is something to be gained here.
Well, you know, grapes actually, there are more wild grapes growing in Georgia by probably about 300%. Over California. California is actually a state that would be very difficult to grow grapes.
Really?
If you did not have irrigation. And irrigation is what's made their wine industry what it is. They've got this arid environment, which is beautiful for disease control and growing grapes, but they don't have water. But voila, up until a decade ago, irrigation and water supplies was not a problem for them. The wine industry in California is a pretty powerful animal. I think they're probably going to do well for themselves at the table when it comes down to the rationing of water for agriculture in California. But it is making an impact on the industry. People are thinking what's important, what's not important in California.
If you're just joining us, we're speaking with Eric Seifert, president and winemaker of Crane Creek Vineyards. And we're talking about the state of Georgia's wine industry. Now, Georgia used to be known for some relatively sweet wines. Is that still the case, or what are we known for?
It is. Up until probably the early 80s, late 70s, Georgia was the home of muscadine wines.
That's a sweet wine. It's really sweet.
It's a sweet wine and
sweet.
Fruit wines. Yeah. And so at the beginning years when I was in operation, that was... Anytime you'd get a true enophile, a wine lover that came to your winery, it was almost out of pure curiosity to see what horrible wine you're making. So it's been a road to hoe getting out of that. And we have. I really think we have. There is a feel out there now that there is quality wine being made, particularly up in Northeast Georgia. And people who enjoy and drink wine are getting really pleasantly surprised when they visit.
Now, someone listening to this segment is saying, wow, we can go out and we can start our own winery. And I want you to sort of go back and not to scare them, but talk about the hit and misses, what you learned from the beginning and what you know now.
Well, that's a great question because I probably get approached at least a couple of times a month by new wine growers or people who are interested in the industry. And I tend, at the beginning, I used to be very positive and very optimistic, and I saw many of them flounder. So now I generally spend about the first 15 minutes of my conversation scaring them to death. And then if they're still hanging around to talk about it, we will then go on to getting more involved. I'm currently the president of the Georgia Wine Growers Association, so I get a lot of traffic in that area and talk to people. It is farming. It is farming and all the difficulties and concerns and challenges and heartbreak that are part of farming. Of course, it's production of a product from your farm product. And probably some of that is the easier part to handle. There's not a winery in Georgia yet, and this is a part of our state of our industry. There's not a winery in Georgia that is very successful unless they embrace agritourism. And agritourism isn't just growing grapes. It isn't just making wine, but it's having festivals and having weddings and having concerts and having all the things that are wrapped up into it. And so I've run across people who say, I just want to make grape or grow grapes, or I just want to make wine, and it's still a tough row to hoe. That's where California has it over us. They have the density that one person can grow one type of grape and make one type of wine, do it very well, and be successful.
Okay, so let's just get this out the way. When it comes to serving meals, do you absolutely have to follow my sister? Well, if it's fish, it has to be this type of wine. If it's red meat, it has to be this type of wine.
Does your sister talk that way?
Well, kind of, sort of. can you just go? I mean, does that really matter?
Well,
can't you just serve what you like?
Well, you know, I tend to do that. I'm a white wine person, as a matter of fact, so I tend to drift more and more into white areas where I probably should be, quote, drinking a red. It tends to be that some foods do pair better with wines. You know, a spicy food is probably good with a little sweeter white wine. A heavier meal with perhaps heavy sauces or butter-based sauces do better with a red wine. But, you know, everybody's getting away from that rigid pairing, that the sort of the Francophile look at wine and the big faux pas if you don't pair it correctly.
Right. Well, I'm glad to know that. So next time, Jim, when you come over for dinner, I'll just throw whatever's out there and you just have to drink it.
We have to stop talking about food and wine right now because my stomach's growling. Eric Seaforth is president and winemaker at Crane Creek Vineyards, and we've been discussing Georgia's growing wine industry. Thanks so much for coming in. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Eric.
Appreciate you guys having us. Thanks for interest in the industry.